Morning, everyone. Happy Easter to you. Are you there? Okay. All right. Hey, there. I can hear you now. You know, there is a park in California that has a weather station, and it says, check the forecast. And it's a platform that has a big rope on it with a rock. And it says, check the forecast by looking at the stone, at the rock. If the stone is moving, it is windy. If there's a shadow under the stone, it's sunny. If there's a white substance on top of the stone, it is. This is California. Remember, if the stone is jumping up and down, you're experiencing. If the stone is completely gone, what has happened? A tornado. You got it. Check the stone. Check the rock. Well, today on this Easter morning, we are going to check the rock. Because as was said in the children's message, when the ladies got there, what had happened to the rock? It had been rolled away. If the stone had not been rolled away, perhaps Jesus had not risen from the dead. But check the rock. Jesus is alive. And so we're going to use that ancient greeting with one another where the pastor says, Alleluia, the Lord is risen. And you say, He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let's try it. Alleluia, the Lord is risen. Alleluia, because we've checked the rock. Jesus is alive. You know, it was the famous Swiss theologian named Karl Barth who was once asked this question. Why do people come to worship on Easter? And he answered that question by saying, people come to Easter to see if it's really true. And today we are here to see if it's really true. What? Is Easter, is what happened on Easter true? We're going to check the rock. Is Jesus really who he said he was? And is his word really true? Can we trust him? Check the rock. What's going to happen when I die? Check the rock. And if Jesus is alive, is he still alive for me today? And is he there for the stuff that I'm going through in my life right now? Friend, we're going to check the rock. First, we're going to check the rock today to see if Jesus is alive. Because, you know, when you think about Easter, so many people celebrate Easter. Do you think there's some confusion out there today about what Easter is all about? Three men got together and they were talking about Easter. And first guy says, I know what Easter is about. It says, we get together as a family. We have a big turkey dinner. And we talk about the pilgrims and the Indians. And the second guy says, no, that's not what Easter is about. He says, we set up a big evergreen tree in the middle of our living room. And we open gifts and we sing jolly songs about an old man in a white and red suit. And the third guy says, are you crazy? That's not what Easter is about. It's about Jesus being in the tomb. And every Easter, Jesus comes out of the tomb and he checks his shadow. And if he sees his shadow, he goes back in for 40 days. That's absurd. I know it. And yet there are people, many people, who are not celebrating the real reason for Easter. And what is that? Well, you heard the story. The women came to the tomb and they expected to find someone dead because they had been there on Friday. The Friday that we call good. They had heard Jesus and his last words. They had seen him breathe his last. They were there when the soldier put the spear in his side. He was dead. They took his lifeless body down from the cross and they put it in a tomb. The Roman officials, to make sure that no one could get into the tomb, and they also did this to preserve the integrity and the honor of the one who was deceased, it was a common practice to roll a huge stone in front of the tomb so that it was sealed shut. And to top it all off, the Romans put a Roman guard at the tomb just to make sure. But those three women, they loved Jesus. He was their master, their friend. And because there was no embalming, they took spices very early in the morning and oils to anoint the body of Jesus. And they were hoping that somebody might be able to roll the stone away. Who's going to do that? Somebody has to be nice to us, they thought. But when they got there, the stone had already been rolled away. Check the rock. And they looked inside, and there was the angel and said, "This Jesus of Nazareth that you're looking for, he's not here. He is risen. He's alive." Friend, the fact of the resurrection is so important for us, isn't it? You know, Jesus died on Good Friday, and that was a pivotal point for us in our relationship with God. Because as true God, Jesus on the cross took the sins of the world upon himself. And there he suffered and he died for those sins. That needed to take place. He experienced our hell, our damnation on the cross. But if that's where it stopped, sin would have defeated Jesus. Death would have defeated God himself. But check the rock. The stone is moved. Jesus isn't dead. He's alive. Check the rock. Not only then is Jesus alive, but the second thing we see is that Jesus then and his words are so true. Jesus is who he said he was. Earlier in Mark 9, Jesus told the disciples that he would be betrayed and that he would be mocked and that he would suffer, that he would die, but then after 3 days, he would rise again from the grave. But here Jesus was dead, and it appeared that death had defeated the truth of God. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, Jesus was not who he said he was. Jesus, in his words, when he said, "I am the truth and the life," those weren't right, those weren't true. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, we would not be here today. But Jesus did rise. Check the rock. He's alive. And because Jesus is alive, the truth of Jesus is so true, and his promises are so real. You know, there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible. How do we know that they are alive, that they are true? Paul puts it this way in Romans 1, verse 4. Jesus was declared with power to be the Son of God. How do we know that? It says, by his resurrection from the dead. The resurrection demonstrates that God can be trusted, that his word is true. And that's why Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And when you know the truth of Jesus and his word, then you know Jesus himself. Check the rock. Jesus is who he said he was. Thirdly, check the rock, and what do we see? We see that we have life. Life. As the women made their way to the tomb, it was dark. The sun had not fully come up, but maybe it was a morning like this. Wasn't it beautiful this morning as the sun started to come up? And as the women made their way to the tomb, not only was it probably dark physically at that time, but how about emotionally, having experienced the death of their friend? How about spiritually, to know that Jesus was dead and that what he said about being God wasn't really true? It was dark because of death itself. Friend, I know we don't like to talk about death on Easter, but you can't talk about life without also thinking about death. Death. Why do we die anyway? You know, death is something that we are very much focused on, and I know that there are many books today and movies and so forth that picture people who have supposedly died and then come back to life. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 that man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment. You only die once, and no one is experienced in it, really. And once that one time comes, it's over. Why do we die? The Bible says that we die because we are descendants of Adam. The Apostle Paul says, "For as in Adam, all die." Because all of us are descendants of Adam and Eve, our first parents who rebelled against God, and so we have inherited the same problem that they have, called sin. And not only do we inherit sin, but in our attitudes, in our words, in our actions, in our thoughts, we also miss the mark of what God expects of us. And what's the result of all that? Well, God told Adam and Eve, "You shall surely die." And they did. And all those who have gone before us have died also. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. That's why there's death. And the women were confronting that issue of death, and it was sad. One time, a new family moved into a neighborhood. And across the lane, there lived an older man and his wife. And There was a little boy in that family, and he loved to visit this older man and woman. And whenever he would find the way across the lane, they would give him a cookie, and they just loved this little boy. Well, the woman got sick, and she passed away. And the man in his sorrow was just unconsolable. The neighbors just tried to leave him alone and give him his space. And the mother said to the boy, he said, "Son, whatever you do, don't go over there and talk to Mr. White. He's so sad. He wants to be alone." But the boy, in his insatiable curiosity, decided one day to sneak over there to talk with his elderly friend. And when his mother looked out the window, she saw the old man. And he was just weeping uncontrollably. And she yelled out the window, "Son, come home right now. Come home." Well, as he came in the door, she scolded him. "What in the world did you say to Mr. White to make him so sad?" The little boy lowered his head and said, "I didn't say nothing. I just climbed on his lap and helped him to cry." You see, death is universal because sin is universal. Last night we had one of our disciples as a school principal, and he had one of the young kids in his school pass away from a brain tumor. Death is irrespective of age. It hits the old, it takes away the young as well. Why do we die? Because of sin. Sin is universal. And death is what the women expected to find. And yet, when they got there, what happened? They checked the rock. The rock had been rolled away. Jesus, he's not here, he's alive. And so the resurrection of Jesus proves that as the all-powerful Son of God, the sacrifice that Jesus endured on the cross was accepted by the Father. And that as he rose from the dead, Jesus proved the victory then over Satan and sin, and yes, even death itself. That's why there's life in Jesus. There's life today, and there's life forever. That's why Jesus could say at the death of his friend Lazarus, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." He wasn't talking about physically, but he was talking about this eternal separation, this spiritual death. God says it's not going to happen when you attach yourself to Jesus. True story told about a man named George who drove his wife to worship every Sunday morning. Her name was Rosie. And Rosie and George had been married for 45 years, and they were inseparable. They did everything together, except for one thing. When George drove Rosie to church, he sat in the parking lot and drank his coffee and read the paper, especially the sports section. Rosie came into worship. After worship was over, Rosie went back, and they went home. Well, Rosie became ill, got cancer, and she died. The people in the church so wanted to see George back in his old parking spot, but George never showed up. Months passed until finally Easter came. And there in the parking lot in his usual old place was George. This time, though, George came in. Everyone was so happy to see George, and they greeted him. And George sat and he listened to the scripture reading. He was involved in the songs as best as he could. He hung on every word that the pastor had to say about the resurrection of Jesus. And then, as was usually the case, at the end of the sermon, the pastor said, "Amen." And that's when George stood up and something interesting happened. He looked around, and then with a calm but clear voice, he said to everyone there, "Rosie lives because Jesus lives." And then he started singing, "My wild Irish rose, the sweetest flower that grows." And as he started singing it, one person started to join in, and then another, and soon the whole congregation was trying to sing "My wild Irish rose." And as you can imagine, there wasn't a dry eye in the whole place. Jesus lives. And because he lives, we live. We live today, and we know that our sins are forgiven. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from how many of our sins? All of them. And knowing that our sin has been taken care of, we have the promise of everlasting life. That's why Peter could say, we are born to a new hope, a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we now have an inheritance that is imperishable and undefiled and unfading that is kept in heaven for every one of us. You know, after Jesus called himself the resurrection and the life, he looked at Martha and said, "Martha, do you believe this?" Martha said, "Yes, Lord, I believe." And every one of us is challenged today on this Easter. Do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus is the life for you? Check the rock. Jesus is alive. And one more thing. We check the rock today knowing that resurrection power is ours. Power. You know, Paul, who had the risen Christ appear to him and speak to him, said that once that happened to him, he says, "There's only one thing that I want to know." He says, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection." The power of the resurrection. Why is it so important to us today? Well, first of all, it assures us that our sins are forgiven, that we have a home in heaven waiting for us. But check the rock. It's more than even that. God, in his grace, in his resurrection power, wants to be part of your life right now. He wants to make a difference for you right now, maybe even in the things that you're going through. You know, for the ladies coming to the tomb, they had a big problem. What was the problem? It was that big stone, that huge stone. Who's going to roll it away for us? But I just want to ask you, are there any big stones in your life right now? Are there some huge boulders that you're facing that seem immovable? You say to yourself, "Things will never change. It's always going to be this way. I might as well just give up." You ever have those kind of obstacles? Friend, check the rock. It's been rolled away. And I just want to make something clear. The big rock and big stone in front of the tomb, it was rolled away, not because Jesus had to have it rolled away to come out of the tomb. No, Jesus is God. He didn't need the stone rolled. Who was the stone rolled away? For whose purpose? It was for his followers. It's for you and me that we can check the rock and know that because the rock has been moved, that Jesus lives and the resurrection power of Christ is now yours. It's mine. You know, if God can take care of those largest of rocks, our sins, death, if God can take care of those, don't you think he can take care of the other things that seem so insurmountable, those other big stones in your life? And sometimes God removes our problems and our terrible situations, and he rolls them away just like he did that stone. And on those times, praise God, right? And I know you do. But there are other times and situations and circumstances where God doesn't remove the boulder. But he gives you the strength, he gives me the wisdom, he gives us the courage to be able to trust him to handle it for us. Mary Rose Betton was directing a children's Easter pageant at church. It was a challenge to cast all the children so that they would be comfortable in their roles. Well, one boy, in fact, insisted that he wanted to be the rock. He wanted to play the part of the rock in front of the tomb. "Well, wouldn't you be happier to have a speaking part?" the director asked. The boy would have nothing but the rock. Well, the play went smoothly, and afterwards, Miss Betton asked the little boy if he liked playing the part of the stone in front of the tomb. He beamed and he declared, "Oh, it felt so good to be rolled away from the tomb." There's good news, my friend. Check the rock. It's been rolled away. And in spite of the big problems that we have in our lives, there is resurrection power. And because Jesus lives, because he has conquered sin and death, there is no problem, there is no situation that we face that is too huge for the power of God's grace in Jesus Christ. And that's why, along with God's people, throughout the centuries, on this Feast of Victory, we check the rock. For alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let's pray. Lord, today as we check the rock, we understand that Jesus, you are alive. And that you are alive so that our sins are forgiven. So that we, as we think about our lives, you are always with us. That even as we face the big boulders of our lives, the problems, that you're there to either remove them or give us the strength to trust you to move them. Lord, and when we face that enemy, that last enemy called death, how thankful we are that you are the resurrection and the life. Lord, help us to celebrate. Help us to check the rock that because you live, we live too. Amen.